A simple act of faith. What would that be? If you think about you performing a simple act of faith, what would you think that would represent and mean in your life? So I want to talk about this, the story from Luke's gospel. Jesus is talking with the disciples, and the disciples ask a request. And it's a great request, right? You would think. The disciples say, Jesus, increase our faith. Lord, give us more faith. Now, if you read the story, it's very interesting because Jesus doesn't respond to the request. Jesus doesn't go, hey, good question. I'm going to give you more faith, guys. Stick with me. You'll have more faith. Jesus doesn't say that at all. He almost kind of ignores that comment, but then he goes on to say that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, I'm going to show you the picture in a minute, which is right here. If you have that much faith, just that much faith, you can say to this mulberry bush, uproot yourself and be thrown into the lake. That's all you need, that much. You see, I think Jesus was trying to help the disciples of that day and you and I of this day to understand that the issue is not more faith. The issue is doing something with the faith God has already given to you. And Jesus wants the disciples to begin to risk, to rise to the challenge, to use the faith that they already have for Christ and for the ministry that God has called them to. You see, because Jesus knew the issue is not having more faith. And when you're working in a church and you ask people, they go, oh, I couldn't do that. I just need more faith, you know. I want more faith. If I got more faith, I could do that, right? We're looking for Sunday school teachers. It's hard for me to believe that in all the people of Grace Church, there's not one person who could teach. That seems impossible for me to believe. And yet, if I ask you, you go, well, if I had a little more faith, Lyle, if I just had some more faith, then I would probably be able to teach too. And Jesus goes, that's not the issue, folks. It's about using the faith that we have. And so, I want to talk about simple acts of faith. How do we take on these simple acts of faith? How do we live out our faith in a helpful and a positive way? First thing, it's about trusting God. Now, if I say to you, do you trust God? What would you say? So you guys have figured out, when Lyle asks a question, no expression. Then he will have no idea what's going on inside. Most people say, I trust God. Most people say, yeah, I know God's around, I trust God. And we do trust God when things are going well, right? When my life's moving along the way I want it to, when I'm encountering good things in life, when I have enough food and I have some of the things that I want, sure, of course I trust God. But the issue is not trusting God just simply in the good times. Anyone can do that. It's when life turns around in a negative way, when the storms hit. It's trusting God in the dark. When the lights go out, poof, and I can't see anything, it's in those moments that we're called to trust God. And Paul, in that passage, the second letter to Timothy, he talks to him about trusting God even though he's in jail. Paul's in jail because of his faith and proclaiming the faith, and he's going to end up dead. And in that storm, in that darkness, Paul continues to trust in faith. And that's what it means, trusting God. When the diagnosis comes, when the loss takes place, when the limitations of your life unfold, It's in those moments that we're called to really trust God. So how do we do this trusting? Well, trusting God is about getting to know who God is. On Friday, the ministry team had the opportunity to be away, and the whole purpose of the day was to get to know each other, because unless we know each other, we have no idea whether we can trust one another. It's the same with God. When you get to know who God is, then you begin to trust God more and more. And we get to know God by being in creation. So you hunters that are going to be out there in about 3 weeks, it's an opportunity to be marveled at the creation all around you. It's about learning about God in the Word. That's the biblical story. That's the New Testament. In the Old Testament, in those stories are concealed God's identity. And it would be helpful if more and more of us would read those words on a regular basis, and then not only read them, but apply them to our life. Love the people who go, read every day, Lyle, read every day. Every day I get a story, every day I get a story. And they know the stories, but they wane in the application of the story. And they just continue to be like everybody else. And the last one is to know God through Christ. It's about trusting in the presence and the mystery and the eternal nature of God. It's helping us to see that we do have a great big God. Right? You sang that song with the kids. But the question is, do you believe it? Or do you just go, well, that's a nice little new song. We like that new song the kids sing. Right? But do you believe that our God is a great big God? Now, we use the term great big God for the kids because they can't understand infinity. And God is the God of the universe. How big is the universe? It's unbelievable. And God is in every moment, every fabric, every part. Do you believe that? And what stops you from believing in the great big God? It says, trust in God. We can only see a little bit down the road, but God can see around. Not some corners, not a few corners, but every corner of your life and mine. And that means I may not understand what's going on and why it's happening to me. Why did I get this diagnosis? Why am I dealing with this limitation? What's going to happen in the future? God already knows what's going around that corner. I can't see it. And that's where you trust God. Even to the moment when you draw your last breath and your heart beats for the last time. See, I can't see around that corner. Nobody can see around that corner. But God knows what's around that corner. And the question is, do you trust God in every moment and fabric of your life? Proverbs 3, the 5th and 6th verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, most people today reverse it around. Trust in God with all your understanding and lean not on your heart. That's the way people today, because we're smart, right? You've got a degree, right? I've got a degree, you know? Some may have master's degrees and doctorate degrees, and we go, understanding is where it's at, man. So, we say, trust in the Lord with all your understanding. Trust in God when you can understand who God is. And don't lean on your heart. But the biblical says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then it goes on to say, in all your ways, acknowledge God. In all your ways, when you mess up, when things are going well, when things are just mediocre, in all of your ways, acknowledge God, and God will make straight your path. That's a story about somebody who trusts God. Where are you in comparison to the author of these lines? Many of us have a long way to go. Well, trusting God's one thing we need for simple acts of faith. Second is, it requires action. To encounter simple acts of faith, you got to do something. See, faith is not just to feed you so you feel calmer, so you feel better, so you're not so fearful in life. That's not what faith is for. I mean, we often think that, you know, I want to be spiritual. Why do I want to be spiritual? Well, it'll help me in my life. It'll help me to relax. It'll help me to enjoy nature. It'll help me to handle the stress at work. You know how stressful it is here at Grace. It helps me just to relax and chill out here at Grace. That's what faith is for. Faith is not so you'll feel better. Faith is given so you'll do something with it. And that's why Jesus didn't answer the question of the disciples. He says, go out and do something. Because you don't need faith this big. You need faith this big. And you'll be amazed at what that will do. But you got to get off your butt. You got to do something. You got to take action. In James, the second chapter, 17th verse, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If you're not doing something with your faith, you don't have faith. It's dead. And maybe that's the issue with some of us. Maybe the problem is not that we don't have faith, it's that we're doing nothing with the faith that we have. So the question this morning is, what are you doing with your faith? Are you reaching out? Are you connecting with people? Do you take the time to do things like go and see someone who is old, right? Go and visit somebody who's in need. Do you ever walk down George Street and just hand out some gift certificates, or even better, take a coffee? You know what the biggest problem with street people are? They're invisible. Nobody notices them. That's why you cross the road, walk the other side. That's why when Carlos is up with his hand out, I'm walking down George Street like this. Right? I just try to ignore him. Maybe what I need to do is stop. Maybe I need to take him for a coffee. That would be even better. Or do something with your faith, some small, simple act of faith that helps to that person out. Or how about connecting with this person? Wouldn't that be fun, having coffee with her, right? And the whole purpose of this is to build relationships. That's what faith is about. Acts of faith is to build relationships, to build trust with one another. And we need that in the community. We need people of our churches out in the community building relationships, because the people out there don't know who you are, and they don't know if you do anything. A simple act of faith are to get out and do something. And maybe you can't start with this young lady here. I'd have a hard time not looking at all the studs. But maybe I could sit with this person. And faith simply requires action. Well, third thing is learning to forgive. Learning to forgive is incredibly, incredibly difficult. And this saying, which I love, it says, you only begin to heal when you let go of past hurts. Anybody here have any past hurts? If you have a past hurt, just put up your hand here. Well, God bless you, a couple of you. Some people are going, geez, I don't know. We only heal our past hurts by forgiving those who have wronged you. And then I like the second part. And learn to forgive yourself for your mistakes, right? See, it's easy to go, oh, I know all the people that have ticked me off. Man, I can point them out here this morning, a couple of them, right? I know all the ones that have hurt me, right? That's only part of it. The part of it is now, then, forgiving ourselves for the times you've messed up. For the times you intentionally hurt somebody. Now, I'm sure there's a part of you going, oh, wow, I would never intentionally hurt anybody. I may have hurt a few people. But let me tell you, be clear on this, Lyle. It wasn't intentional. But many people hurt others intentionally. Don't you know the phrase that will knock the socks off your partner? Don't you know that issue that will just wound them? Don't you know what to do when you get in a defensive position, when you're in a conversation with someone you don't feel comfortable? Don't you have that phrase already tucked away that just can poof, knock them off? And we hurt people intentionally as well as unintentionally. And learning how to forgive others and forgiving ourselves is a huge piece towards spiritual healing. And Jesus talks about that just in the verses before that. He says, whenever someone hurts you, and then they repent or acknowledge their mistake, we're called to forgive them. And there is no limit to that forgiveness. Well, the last thing is, simple act of faith involves determination to serve. The determination to serve, not once in a while. It's easy to have conversation with people and say, well, you know, back in 1972, I was at a roast beef supper here and I did the dishes. I've had people say, my grandfather came to Grace Church. Right? I've served. It's not like I'm a slouch. I served 3 years ago, 10 years ago. Matter of fact, a couple months ago I served. You know, somebody asked me to do something. I served. But Christ is calling us to serve daily, every day. Now, if you're going to serve daily, you can't do that in here. We don't need you to serve every day in here. How many times does the floor need to be swept? How many times do we have to dust off the communion table? You know, have someone come and dust off the communion table every day? It's not what we need in the way of serving. We serve out in the community. We serve to the people that God puts you before. And then we serve with a determination, not just simply daily, but daily for the rest of our lifetime. And all around us, there are opportunities to serve. Simple acts of faith, holding a door for somebody, volunteering in an organization, helping with the environment, paying for the groceries with the person in front of you who's $5 short. Don't make them take out things until they get to what they can afford. Just go, I'll look after that. Take them all. I'll pay for the whole thing if you want. I can afford $150. It's on me. Little acts of kindness that reveal the faith that God has given to you. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. And then the last part of that passage, which is a tough part for most people, it says, that's what God calls us to do. Don't be looking for big pats on the back. Right? If a master is out there looking after the sheep with the servant, and the servant comes home with the master doesn't say, well, come on and we'll have dinner together. The master says, go. Feed me, fix my supper, give my supper to me, and you can eat later. He says, don't be strutting around going, hey, whoa, I did the one-roof diner once. October of 2018, I was at the diner. See, Jesus says, it's our responsibility. It's our duty. It's a gift that we have the ability to do something that makes a difference in the lives of others. And that's the blessing. That's the reward. And when we do a non-contrived, simple act of faith, it makes a difference beyond what you can possibly imagine. And so this morning, how big is your faith? Is it as big as a mustard seed? If it is, man, you're set. You're way ahead of me. If it's half a mustard seed, a quarter of a mustard seed, even a grain of sand, if I had the faith of a grain of sand, man, it would transform me. But it starts with not waiting for the bigger part of faith. It's about using the faith I have right now, what you have right now, and using it to honor God. Amen.